One of the biggest lies Satan has gotten many to believe is that mankind is basically good.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message by Pastor Brian Grant we're hearing this evening, Pastor Grant assured us from Scripture that believers in Jesus Christ will not experience the terrors of the tribulation that will fall on all the earth. Praise God! We are not destined for wrath, but for the eternal joy of being with Jesus. Indeed, the great catching away, the rapture of saints living and dead, will trigger that time of incredible horror on earth. The sad part is that no one who has ever heard the simple gospel of saving faith in Christ needs to be here. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant concludes his message, The Big Reveal, Part 2.
I recently read that there are over 1,500 Old Testament passages that mention the return of Christ. I didn't do the count myself. 1,500 Old Testament passages that mention the return of Christ, and that one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament mentions the Lord's return. The Lord's return is a huge topic. Write this down. There is nothing more certain than the Lord's promise that he will physically return to earth again. And just to remind you of the sequence of events, before the Lord returns to earth, he will come in the clouds at the rapture to take home his church. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 11, you might remember, we're not going to turn there, but you can just make a note of it. But you can remember, you remember the events there, that when the day that Jesus ascended to heaven after his resurrection. After he was resurrected, the Bible tells us, as Jesus was speaking to his disciples, this is when he commissioned us and gave us that commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But here he is in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. As he stood on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, he was telling them, after he told them that they'd be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the world, the Bible tells us that as he finished saying that, you remember what happened? He suddenly started ascending. You remember where he was ascending from? He was ascending from the Mount of Olives. The same Mount of Olives that's still here, and the same Mount of Olives that will be here when the great tribulation starts. You can imagine. Can you imagine him being there? And Jesus is just, sometimes you're over rock, what some rocket or whatever, and the thing is gone, but you're still staring up. And that's what they were doing. They were still staring. And then two angels came to them and said, "Hey, men of Israel, you don't have to stare into heaven. For Jesus, the same way you saw him going to heaven, he's going to come again." Amen. Praise the Lord. He said to them, he will come in the same way you saw him go. He left from the Mount of Olives physically. He's going to return to the Mount of Olives physically. Amen. The Bible is so incredibly specific and accurate. It is mind-blowing. And so listen, Jesus went into the heavens from the Mount of Olives. And look at what Zechariah chapter 14 verse 3 tells us. Zechariah 14 verse 3. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in their battle. And in that day his feet will stand where? On the Mount of Olives." This same Jesus will come in the same way he left. He left physically from the Mount of Olives. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. half of the mountain shall move toward the north, half towards the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, and the mountain valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come. And I love this little part here. And what does it say in your Bible? And all the saints, listen, we are going to be coming with him. Amen. At the rapture, the believer in Jesus Christ is going to go what? To be with the Lord at the rapture, right? And it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherever the Lord goes after the rapture, we'll be there too. Amen. And so when the Lord comes back, listen, when the Lord comes back, this is really his second coming. You see, the rapture is not his second coming. That's the rapture. But the second coming means his foot is going to touchdown. It's not an Eagles game. This will be a touchdown. But we're going to be there. We're going to be right there. All his saints are coming with him. Because the exciting thing about being a Christian, whatever, wherever Jesus goes, we're going to be going with him. Hallelujah. Just as Israel is on the verge of annihilation, their Messiah will touch down on the Mount of Olives and turn the tide on their enemies. Listen, this is not just some old stuff, Old Testament stuff that Zechariah made up. Look in Revelation chapter 1. What does it say in Revelation 1:7? Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of earth will mourn because of him. You know one of the things that blew me away? So, you know what it says? That when the Lord comes again, what did it say? Every eye will see him. So can I tell you my story? So here I am, 15, 16, 17 years old, and I'm trying to see. Jesus, I really want to believe you. I believe you, but I don't see how possible this is. How can you come and the whole world see you at the same time? You realize that God was so way ahead of all of us in technology. You see, in a young person today wouldn't have the problem I had because it was impossible. I'm saying, is God going to make himself one big figure that you can see no matter where you are on the globe? No. Today we're getting a better understanding, aren't we? Because anything happening on any part of the globe, everybody can see it live. I want to tell you, it's amazing. Now that we have seen how technology has changed, it's good to see the Browns, Brother Aldine. I tell you, we were struggling back in the day as to how this 666 stuff, how could some numerical code, how could the Antichrist control the world's economy through some numerical code? Of course, nowadays, we're seeing that God was way ahead of us. Are you with me? Boy, I tell you, the older you get and the more you go along, you recognize that in our generation, the prophecies in the Bible are coming to pass. We can actually see it playing out. And I tell you the truth, I used to hear the old preachers say, listen, I believe he's coming soon. And of course, as a young man, I said, I don't think he's coming right this minute, you know. But I'm going to tell you now that I'm an older guy. And not just because I'm an older guy. Because it is mind-blowing what is going on today. It is mind-blowing that we can have machines talking. It is mind-blowing. You know, you read it in the book of Revelation, how Satan is going to cause an image to speak. You remember that? And show like it's alive. And of course, back then, I said, here goes again. This one is, Lord, I believe you, but this takes an awful stretch of my imagination to figure how can this image speak. It don't stretch my imagination now. It's happening right now. All the stuff in the old, in the Bible that I used to struggle with as a young man as to how could this happen. In my generation, in our generation, it's happening. And I'm saying to you young people and older folks, it won't be long. Now don't say Pastor Brian gave you a prediction. I ain't giving no predictions. But all I'm saying, it just seems to me that God's word has become so clear, and the prophecies of the word of God could not be any clearer than they are today. So where was I? But I'm going to take you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. The word of God says there, may the Lord make you increase in abundant love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Just add this to your notes. Jesus is coming to earth with all his saints. Are you one of them? Are you one of his saints? At the rapture, all believers will go to be with the Lord, and after that, nothing will separate them, us from him. So let me just remind you of the sequence of what we've studied so far. The first important event associated with the Lord is the Battle of Armageddon. And secondly, Christ's second return to earth. And here's the third thing I'd like you to put in your notes. The third big thing, the millennial reign of Christ. The millennial reign of Christ. Zechariah chapter 14. The millennial reign of Christ. Zechariah 14 verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Is that in your Bible? The Lord will be king. You know, we used to sing a little song. Jesus shall reign. You remember that song? Jesus is going to reign on earth. He will reign in that day. It shall be the Lord is one, and his name one. And all the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place, and so on. Verse 11, the people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. All the drama that was going on in Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus will bring to an end. You know, as impossible as it seems, the word millennial means 1,000. As impossible as it seems, there is a day coming when Jesus, when all wars on earth will cease for 1,000 years, and Jesus will reign. So write this in your notes. The millennial reign of Christ is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth after the tribulation and before the great white throne judgment of the wicked. During the Lord's millennial reign, add this to your notes, during the Lord's millennial reign, there will be peace on earth. Did you write that down? During the Lord's millennial reign, there will be peace on earth. The Bible says, can you imagine this? Even the dogs and cats will start playing together. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child You wouldn't do this today. You wouldn't send your little baby to play at the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall be put his hand in a viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I've heard politicians use these passages, and they make it seem that there's something that they're going to, some policy they will adopt, so that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. As it ain't happening until the millennial reign of Christ. For 1,000 years, Jesus will reign on earth, and there will be peace on earth as Jesus Christ, the King. Now, don't believe that. Every now and then, somebody will act up. The people's sinful nature hasn't been changed. But Jesus, you talk about quick action. Quick action. You see, now in our courts, it may take you 10 years. In fact, 40 years, and the action hasn't been taken yet. But during the millennial reign, anybody who messes up will be dealt with swiftly. And I tell you, when everybody, all those who would want to be rebelling, recognize that peace, the Bible says, will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. During the period of apparent utopia, you can add this to your notes. You may say, Pastor, what's up? How in the world all of this happening? What's going to happen to Satan? Do you ever wonder? Is he going to be acting up? By the way, the reason why people are acting up is not because of Satan. It's because we have a sinful nature that can only be redeemed by the blood of Christ. Amen. And even, he says, so what happens to Satan? You want to see what happens to Satan? What is Satan going to do for 1,000 years? All right, go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. Amen. So put this in your notes. During the period of apparent utopia, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. But as I said, there will still be those who want to play the fool. You see, my brother, my friend, our problem is not just the devil. Our problem is that we all bad to the bone. Are you with me, Swan? We bad to the bone. You say, oh, I'm not so bad. You better believe you're as bad as all the other bad ones. You're just afraid of the consequences. That's all it is, you know. But we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. In sin our mothers conceived us. But oh, thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God there is redemption in him. So what have we covered so far as I bring this to a close? First important event associated with the Lord's second coming is the Battle of Armageddon. Second is Christ's second coming to earth. Third is the millennial reign of Christ. And fourth and finally for today, the great rebellion. Revelation chapter 20. I think I already read the first three verses. So verse number 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Because, of course, for 1,000 years, people are still having kids. The earth is repopulating. There are tons of people on earth. They went up on the breath of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. Can you imagine? Satan is loosed and he is now leading an attack on Jesus. Can you imagine? He's leading an attack on Jesus and the saints. And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. One of the biggest lies Satan has gotten many to believe is that mankind is basically good. Part of what God is demonstrating, we are not basically good. And sadly, some Christians are buying this silly idea that all human beings need is a better environment. That if you give everybody a good education and good health care, by the way, all these things are important and we should do that. But my friend, that's not the answer to the problem, because our problem is the problem of a heart that is sinful. And after one, this is so mind-blowing. Listen, for 1,000 years, humanity experiences peace and safety and all the good things that we desire. But at the end of 1,000 years, when Satan is released, all those who have received the benefits of God, we're back to the old way. Young people, older folks, what we need is a savior. That's why I'm so glad to be a preacher of the gospel, of the grace of God. Amen. I tell you, I've been blessed to do a lot of stuff. But my greatest joy is that God has called me to be a preacher of the gospel, of the grace of God, that no matter who you are or what you have done, Jesus died for your sins. And if you repent, if you turn to him, God is willing to cleanse you, to forgive you, and to change your life. My friend, God's offer of salvation is on the table today. I pray that you're going to receive it. You know, in 1829, I close with this true story. In 1829, George Wilson robbed and killed a mail carrier in Pennsylvania and was sentenced to death. Years later, he received a presidential pardon from President Andrew Jackson. But to the shock of the White House, he rejected the presidential pardon. You can look it up. This is the only time in American history where a presidential pardon was rejected. The case went to the United States Supreme Court to resolve this very important question. If the President of the United States grant you a pardon, aren't you immediately pardoned? Chief Justice John Marshall render the decision of the United States Supreme Court. It simply said, a pardon rejected is no pardon at all. Unless the pardon is accepted, the pardon cannot be applied. You got it? 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of this entire humanity. Let's bring it down to us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross for your sin and your sin and your sin and your sin and my sin. He's willing to forgive and pardon and cleanse us from every sin. But a pardon rejected cannot be applied. Perhaps so far you have been rejecting God's pardon. You may be even a Christian, you know. But you're doing stuff that doesn't please the Lord. And some he calls today and he says, you've wandered away. It's time to come back. A pardon rejected cannot be applied. The scripture that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, cannot be applied if we refuse to confess. I'm going to ask you, my friend, today as we bring this final message, Sunday morning message of 2023 to an end. If you're not sure you are saved, reach out to Jesus today. Tell him you'd like him to cleanse you and to come into your life. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then there's some stuff that needs to be forgiven. I'm going to ask you to reach out to him and confess your sin to him. Will you do that?